In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most loving and affectionate Father, we contemplate the birth of your Son, how he was conceived in the womb of his beloved Mother Mary. You have taken to yourself for all eternity the human nature of mankind. Grant to us an appreciation of this great and wondrous gift, this magnificent union, so that we may truly correspond to it and to its grace. We ask this through the intercession of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of the Savior. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, our Lord wants us to help him complete the redemption of the world. He does it, not us. He does it within us. We allow him to use us for that redemption, to bring that redemption to others and to the people of this day and age. And that is in this design, this here. You see, God is love. Jesus becomes one of us. Jesus being God, being the incarnation of love, he enters into the human lot. He suffers, he grows, he learns, he does everything that we do. He eventually dies upon the cross, Jesus, body and soul, and he goes to Hades. He descends to hell. And in this, Jesus merits the graces of the redemption. And what he does is he merits the application in, with, and through me to each man of each time. So I said, St. Francis, through that magnificent gift of entering into the passion, death, and resurrection, into the life of Christ, was able to change the world through this participation that God allows us to merit the applications of to the people of in our day and time. We do this many times, some through the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Each man, not mankind, each person, we bring that grace to each person of each time. He said, shed for you and for all mankind. God doesn't have a universal idea of man. He has each one of us uniquely, individually, solely. God decrees that the Blessed Trinity will be united to me in the person of Jesus. Therefore, in the incarnation, Jesus begins to exist in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The body and soul of Jesus begins there. And when the Son returns to the Father, redemption has happened. It is only when he returns to the Father that redemption is complete. We are redeemed by the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. Resurrection is just as much a part of the redemption as his passion and death. In uniting with me, he restores the main loss. Sacramental grace, the indwelling of the Trinity, but not our immunities. So we must show me how to live in the restoration of those gifts. Jesus had to live and had to die. There was no question about that. He couldn't have escaped it. You know, some people say he could blink his eye. No. Therefore, every detail of the human life of Jesus was already planned by God. He lives a life of such beauty, service, obedience, love, divine devotion, therefore making himself totally foreign to men. And men hate anything better than themselves. Therefore they killed him. They wanted someone weak, with faults and failures. You ever notice any time a religion is founded, it is founded reverencing the weakness of the founder. They make Jesus more and more like themselves. In the true church, we must recognize that we must become as Jesus, not he as us. This is the same God, Jesus, second person of the Blessed Trinity. Now, the Father's not up in heaven looking at the Son suffering, but he says, what are they doing to me? It's not that God stood up there and looked down. Trinity. There's only one consciousness in God. It was the Trinity that experienced everything possible during the life of Jesus. The mind and will are the natures of God. The mind is the carrier of the consciousness. Jesus is conscious of every pain in his body with his divine mind as well as his human. Therefore, the Father and the Spirit are just as conscious of every bit of pain as the Son. It puts the Father in a different light, doesn't it? And the Holy Spirit. We always think that it was Jesus alone. In reality, it was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that redeem us through the person of the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Jesus ascends to hell to give the good news, and instantaneously in that act that they are entered, they are now in the presence of the Trinity. They make an act of faith and receive the beatific vision. They ascend to the tomb with Jesus, and he ascends into heaven as one of us. Therefore, we are already there when one is there. Redemption has taken place. Jesus has merited the graces of the redemption. But it is not completed till all are saved. All of them. What was meant for each man of all time must be brought to each man of each time. 29 AD, he acted alone, for he was the only one outside the vicious circle. Like an ice skater that crashes into the water. They can't pull themselves out, no matter what they do. They need someone outside to pull them out. And Christ is the one who is outside of sin. Mary was the only other person. He and Mary are outside of this vicious circle of sin. She's the only other human being who had a part in establishing grace. To merit the application of these graces must be to each one of each age and must be merited for those of today. Jesus must do it, and he does now merit the application to each in me, with me, and through me. The application to each soul of this time. We find that in Colossians 1, verse 24. I rejoice in my sufferings in you. I know he did it as a poor man, so I take the vow of poverty. It's difficult, yes. Even though I live in a progressive society, I still choose to be poor as Christ did. He chose it. Jesus lived a life of chastity, so I take a vow of chastity, or I seek to choose to live the most chaste life that I possibly can. To preserve the perfection of that chastity. You don't take a vow of chastity because you're perfect. You take a vow of chastity to perfect it. If you are already perfect in the vows of poverty and chastity and obedience, you need not. Jesus was obedient. Therefore, I seek to obey. I take a vow of obedience if I'm a religious. I take a promise of obedience if I'm a diocesan priest. By these means, Jesus, by me, is meriting the grace of the redemption here and now. How? He says, follow me. The way, the truth, and the life, he says. He wants me to be especially attentive to what is written in Scripture. Now, St. Ignatius asks us to do the impossible, to contemplate the incarnation and the birth of Christ. And he gives us only a short period of time to do it. That's what's impossible. As I said, there are 150 different levels of every single thing, from the stable to the ox and the ass, to the shepherds, to the star in the sky, to the wise men. Now, this is kind of like the scene up here. This is a caravanserai. This is something different. We're looking at this scene. First of all, this is the scene when the angel appears to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now you see, I had to write this. I put Mary. That's Mary. It's very small, but you can see it. And I wrote, that's the angel up there. And this is the house of Nazareth. And this is the earth. And there is white, brown, black, yellow, red, all different kinds of people. There's peace, war, living, and dying. And in heaven, the heavens, there are the principalities, the angels, the powers, the archangels, the cherubim, the seraphim, the dominations, thrones. All of this is in the heavens. This is all going on. Father generating the Son, Son being generated by the Father, breathing forth the Holy Spirit. This whole magnificent movement is happening in the heavens. And it is this scene that we contemplate. We want intimate knowledge of our Lord, that I may know how to love and serve him. I see the divine persons. I can contemplate all those presents. What does each one say? Listen to what the persons on earth are saying, blaspheming, swearing. What does it mean? Criticism, lies, backbiting, false swearing, accusations, irrationality, bitterness, and goes on and on. What are the divine persons saying? Let us redeem the human race. The second person says, I'll go. So they decree the redemption. They love this mess. They love something must be done. We love them. All right. Then we'll love them and unite to them. With Jesus and through Jesus. We'll die for them. They want to live in me. What does the obedience of the second person of the Blessed Trinity do to him? Obedience wasn't the cross. It was that we want. Trinity, we want to be united to them. And this is the only way to do it. Jesus knew what it would involve. Now we have that unity. And we look at Jesus. Was it worth it, O Lord? Oh, say yes, more than you will ever know. When we listen to Luke chapter 1, what they say, lose yourself in adoration, admiration, appreciation, helpless love before God. I don't even know what to say, O Lord, in front of this mystery. What are the people doing? Fighting, rape, murder, things we've done. God saw it all. This is what made him sweat blood in the garden. The Holy Spirit overshadows the Blessed Virgin Mary. The power of the Spirit overcomes her. God created a sperm to fertilize the ova. It must have been something for the Son of God to step down. Angels looking, watching, amazed. He passes through the heavens, past the smallest angel. Where's he going? They wonder. there on the edge of heaven. He's waiting. Gabriel, go down. Tell her that the Son of God waits for her and seeks her to be his mother. When he gets there, he finds the Trinity already there. And when she says yes, he's gone from way over there in heaven, an infinite distance, and now she has him. Billions of angels must have fluttered around her. Goes to the window and looks up at the stars, wondering what has happened. Could there have been a little bitterness? What the Messiah would have to go through, he'd suffer. She offered herself as the handmaid. She knew the suffering servant themes of Isaiah. She knew that the mother of the Messiah would be the mother of a leper, that he would be condemned and beaten and scourged. She knew all these things. It was written. It was foretold. Most women thought it was going to be a glorious thing, because remember, queen was never the wife. The queen was the mother of the king. So most women were yearning be the mother of the Messiah to come. But they had no idea what they yearned for. Mary, on the other hand, being a temple virgin, knew exactly what she was being asked to embrace. But tremendous things we see. God coming down and all that was said by the angel and Mary. And watch what men are doing, going to hell in absolute blindness. Now, she conceives by the power of the Holy Spirit, and now they have to go. There's a census. And they have to go, and they travel, and they find a caravansary. Now, this is what we're talking about. This is what they had. It was a rectangular-shaped structure with a roof all the way around, probably about 7 feet deep, maybe 8 feet if they were lucky. And it went all the way around. And in the center was an open area where they had their baggage, their horses, their donkeys, their cows. It's probably why there was an ox and an ass, because it was what Mary and Joseph had to bring with them, because that was your currency. You carried with you, brought with you your animals. And they also heated up the place. Now, this is the caravansary. And Jesus, this is the Jesus in living in me. This is the living with me. I want all I do this day, for example, to be for the greater glory of God and my spiritual advancement. That's without saying. Caesar Augustus wonders, how many people have I got? I want to count. So Joseph, we got to go. We got the Son of God here. Well, I believe I better go down. We got to go to the Holy of Holies. So I think I'll take my residence in Bethlehem. They sold everything they had. And therefore, they had some money, a cow, a donkey, possibly a sheep, a goat for change. That's where you get those animals again. Now, they get there 3 days. That's 60 miles they travel. She brings some stuff for her baby when it's born. But the bazaar is very good, big in Jerusalem. So she probably went and she probably bought a few things. Everybody's looking at her. She's ready to pop any minute now. She's 9 months pregnant. Probably the women were, making comments and so forth. How does Mary deal with these people? About 4 p.m., they get to Bethlehem. Why didn't they go to Joseph's family? Well, she was only 6 months before that Joseph left for marriage. So rather than explain an early pregnancy, possibly an embarrassment, so they find a place away. The followers of Jesus will all be humiliated and laughed at. Even Mother Teresa was persecuted during her life. There was no room in the inn. In the Greek, it actually says no suitable place in the inn. So Mary looks at that caravan ostrich and she says, no way is my son being born in there. All these people staying underneath this roof together. It would have been this gigantic free-for-all. No, that's not where my baby's going to be born. I'm sorry. She wants a private place. They find a stable. They're offered a stable. It's a mess, but it's the best we can get. Joseph and Mary are marvelous. They always make the best out of the worst possible situation. And this is our lot as well. Jesus believes in the mystique of the situation. For before all this happens, there are difficulties. A saint eats it up, wears it out, makes it do, and does without. That's actually the quote from Calvin Coolidge. The baby is born. How? We don't know. We do know that Mary was a physical virgin before, during, and after the birth. No question about that. Indisputable. Mary has no original sin whatsoever. No contagion. And birth pains are especially from original sin. But the suffering she went through means that she was subject to some of the redemptive suffering. Suddenly the child was in her arms, a sheet folded over and under, wound with linen strips. You see, they thought they had to, for the first 2 or 3 days, bind the legs in order to keep them straight. So Jesus was immediately after birth wrapped like a little mummy, and he was aware of every bit of the pain and discomfort. Joseph probably said, listen, I'm going to go get some wood, Mary. We've got to start a fire here. But when he returns, there's a baby in her arms. He says, are you all right? She's hardly out of the doll stage, and she has her own son, 15 years old. Now, for Joseph, did it take a while to get used to his son? According to tradition, Joseph was adopted, son of Jacob, so he could get used to it. The presentation takes place. She will see the last presentation, the Ecce Homo. The Magi's and Simeon in the temple, and then in the Passion. She looks at Jesus, my little baby, how soon you begin. She looks upon the Blessed Trinity in Jesus, the second person, and he, God, man, looks at her. And he is conscious of the fact that he is suffering for you individually. Aware of all the pain possible. Here he's showing me how to live. He could expiate our sins by bowing to the Father, but couldn't teach us how to live in the restoration. For I still got most of the minor losses. But don't make this a sorrowful mystery, although there aren't very many others in the life of Christ. I want this life, utter humility. I look at all the persons there, all of the poor of the world come in the shepherds. And then later the Magi arrive. We contemplate the actions. I associate the associations. I let these things influence me. There are two ways to contemplate a mystery the event, it could be anything or anyone. The meaning, that's only the initiated that know that. Ignatius is extraordinarily stingy when it comes to the points for meditation. You got a plethora of points that I give you because it's all written out, but he's very stingy. Little word here, phrase there. If he gives two full exercises at the beginning of a week, he has an angle. So the mystery is an outward event of the gospel with an inner meaning. And he wants us to get that inner meaning. In those days, few could read. Other religions taught by signs. The swastika was used. And in fact, in the Eastern Church, you'll find the swastika in marble floors throughout their sanctuaries because it simply meant all turns should be expected. The star was used. The shield of David was taken from a star. The turtle was a sign. And anyone here can get this, the event, but only the initiated ones know the meaning of this birth. Anyone sees Mary, goes in haste to Elizabeth after she conceives. Why in haste? The angel didn't say, hurry up, honey. But she did say, 6 months, she's already pregnant. So she hurries. The first is the way of the incarnation. We start out with this meaning and work up to an understanding of the event. And by the way, haste was usually about, by the evening, you would get to the hill country of Judea. So therefore, when Elizabeth sees Mary and she declares Mary to be the mother of the Lord, first of all, this was an extraordinary thing because a woman in Israel was never considered a mother until she gave live birth. If she gave stillbirth, she was never considered a mother. And here we have Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, says, how is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? This is within hours after the beginning of gestation, God declares Mary a mother of the Lord. That means right there in sacred scripture is absolute and definitive statement that according to God, life, human life, begins from the moment of conception. And then because we're a little slow, the Holy Spirit speaks again through Elizabeth. The moment your voice sounded in my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Joy is a pure human response. Animals cannot, do not have joy. Oh, they're happy when they hear the can opener or when the car door slams. They'll be jumping all over the place. They cannot have joy. So this human response at 6 months of age in the womb teaches us very clearly that human life is from the moment of conception all the way through a natural death. We see this event, the angel, Mary, Elizabeth, Zechariah, traveling through the desert, all these things. We see it. We know the ending, and so now we understand it. In all this, I reconstruct the picture myself, which is a predominant thing in prayer. You got to figure out the picture. You got to see it. You got to almost be like a movie director and put all the people in their proper places and listen to the words that they say. In a scripture, not a single word is ever wasted, especially in the Passion. The time spent on the sign over the cross, what it says, three languages, all that having to do with Pilate, putting Jesus' sign above Jesus, which puts the Jews in their place. We see all this. And we give this an hour, these things an hour. Let your imagination go. But more so, what do you mean, O Lord? Mary is the pinnacle of creation. She's the pinnacle of creation. Mary told you that God used her as the prototype of all beauty, of all perfection, of all grace, of all creation. Now, love, God, is incarnate. in Mary and comes to me. And therefore I go the exact same way from me to Mary to Jesus to God. That is the normal way to return. All in the Book of Wisdom refers to Jesus and Mary. Mary is even above the cherubim in heaven. Mary exhausted the divine power of creation. Even if God himself wanted to, he couldn't create a creature more perfect or more wondrous than Mary, for creaturehood couldn't tolerate it. In fact, the theological statement is, when God created Mary, he exhausted the obediential potency of creaturehood. Creaturehood couldn't tolerate any greater perfection. She would have ceased to be a creature. And if he went beyond that, he would be creating another God. Since God cannot be created, he gave it his all. And that's per saying something for God. She is called the woman. In Scripture, God says, I will put enmity between you, the devil, and the woman. She's the Immaculate Conception, the Virgin Motherhood, the co-redemptrix. She leads us to Jesus. She contributed her part and paid the price of our redemption as no other creature could or ever did or does or can. She's the mother of mankind, the mediatrix of all graces. Look at the Incarnation. Contemplate all of the magnificent things that are happening, all of these things, and bring the spiritual senses into it. Sight, touch, taste, hearing, smell, all of them have spiritual aspects to them. See what's happening, but what's really happening under the mystery. Touch, feel what is happening. Wonderful good taste of Jesus being born there. You know, when you really stop to think of it, we put a stable in our house. We put a Christmas crib in our churches. And if there was someone who didn't even understand what this whole Christian thing was about, they would come in and they would think we were nuts. A smelly old barn with a cow and an ass and people hanging around. What are you, people nuts? It became beautiful. Why was the stable so beautiful? Why did God want to be born in a stable? Because Mary was there. If Mary wouldn't have been there, I don't think he would have chosen a stable. She was the one who made it beautiful. Her presence made that stable so desirable that God wanted to be born there to show us. Once we embrace Mary and we allow her to come into the stable of our own soul, she is the one that makes us worthy. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Most loving and affectionate Father, you have given us so much, so many wonderful gifts, but above all, the gift of your Son and the gift of Mary, his mother. May we always treasure these gifts. May we keep them always in our mind's eye so that every action, every word, every thought will truly be worthy of eternity. We ask this through the intercession of the most blessed Virgin Mary, the Queen of Angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.